This is David's Book Talk, bringing authors and book lovers together in a unique way since 2009. Visit us at davidsbooktalk.com and join the conversation at facebook.com/davidsbooktalk. But first, pull up a chair, relax, and enjoy today's episode. Here's your host, David English.
Hello, and welcome to David's Book Talk. And boy, do we have two special guests today, Angela Cartwright and Billy Mummy from Lost in Space. Yes, one of my favorite all-time shows, and it's a thrill and an honor to have you guys both here to talk about Lost and Found in Space. And it's a book that just came out, and from TV Classics Press. Hello.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
We're good.
So tell me how this book came about. You guys have obviously been friends for years.
Yeah, we met each other a while ago on this little show called Lost in Space. You know, we were trying to acknowledge the golden anniversary of Lost in Space, the 50th year, and this seemed like a natural way to do it. Angela did the layout for the book because she's a fabulous artist and a great design person, and it was a true labor of love. You know, we had access to all of the unpublished photographs in the archives, which we're very grateful to Kevin Burns to let us have that. And we pulled a bunch of behind-the-scenes pictures that had never been seen before and shared our deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it was funny. When we started it, I don't think we really, you know, we wanted it to be more pictures, more of a picture book. But then, all these little anecdotes and thoughts came back to us, and it was a blast putting it together. The things we remembered, we had lots of laughs, some of the pictures we'd never seen before. I mean, it was a lot of fun, and it definitely was a labor of love.
So how was it looking at pictures of yourselves as children? What is that like?
It's like watching reruns, but they don't move.
It's like looking through your yearbook. Or going back to your high school reunion. You know, you start to remember the little things that happened. It's different, definitely, because, you know, we had, a crew and a set around us and other actors, and we did a show every week. But it still has that feeling of your past and, you know, what you're connected to.
Well, also, you know, we did spend countless hours, you know, with little magnifying glasses on, looking through proof sheets that were 50 years old. It's not like we were thumbing through 8x10s. We were looking through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of proof sheets, you know, trying to find images that, you know, worked in terms of ways that brought out emotions that perhaps were dormant. And it's funny how an image can, you know, be the catalyst to opening up the computer of your mind and remembering files that have been tossed away for centuries.
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture of you and Mark Goddard in his car, and I never even knew you guys hung out together off the set.
But I guess... they were bad boys together.
Really?
Mark is just a real quirky, fun kid. I mean, he just, never grew up. So, you know, he and Bill used to kind of tool around the lot.
Now, was every day on the set like this, fun every day? I mean, did you have fun every day?
No, there were many days of tears and sorrow.
Really? I'd like to hear about those.
Buy the book.
There you go. Oh, really? I must have missed that part.
No, listen, there were no... It was a very positive experience, and we were together in school, and we were together on the set, and we were together at publicity events, and we were together at holidays and things, and, you know, we literally grew up together. All of us did, whether, you know, Mark was 30 or I was 12. We spent formative years together, and those bonds are strong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So you were like a big family then.
Well, five of us, six of us. Not that big. I'm not counting the robot.
Yeah. Maybe you should. From what I hear, the robot got a lot of fan mail.
I guess so. I don't know if you answered it, but I mean, sometimes you'll do a show and you'll just click and, you will, you know, face every day together. It's like, you know, working in an office or whatever, where you become like a family if you're all working on a project and all looking in the same direction. You know, there's certainly, you know, odds and ends that happen, but basically we did become a family. And what's unusual is the fact that we're, you know, all still friendly today.
Yeah, how is June doing, by the way? I don't see her much on TV anymore.
Well, you know, when you get to be 91 and you've been working since you were 5 years old, you get to chill.
Yeah, from what I hear, she's still going strong, though.
Oh, sounds amazing. She sounds like she's in her 30s.
Yeah, we spoke to her on her birthday, which is June 25th, and she was in great spirits and sounded terrific.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. Wonder, 91, that's amazing. We all wish we could live to be 91. So how long did it take you to put all these pictures together? This is such a labor of love, and there's so many wonderful pictures in here. I just go over them, and I can look at them again and again and again and still get, you know, something out of them.
Well, you know, it was several months of going through the archives, and we pulled, of course, more than we used. The book is 200 pages long, and there's probably, I don't know, 300 and... I mean, there's a lot of pictures on more than one page. I don't know. We pulled more than we needed, and then we whittled it down, and then we wrote our thoughts about it. So I think the whole process of putting the book together was about 4 or 5 months.
Well, one of the pictures I saw of Marta Christian, she's actually holding it looked like a cigarette.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people smoked in the 60s.
She smoked.
Everybody, I smoked, she smoked, Mark smoked.
Right. But it's funny because your picture doesn't have her with the cigarette. She must have gotten the one that didn't have the cigarette in it. I think it must have been in Mark Cushman's book that I saw it.
No, I think you're mistaken. We didn't take out any cigarettes.
Huh. We didn't Photoshop any of that stuff because that was who we were at that time, you know?
Right. Well, oh, no, I'm sure they're authentic. I wasn't saying they weren't. I'm just... I just know I saw the cigarette somewhere. I don't know where, but it's weird.
Yeah, there's lots. I think there's several pictures with cigarettes in hand in our book.
Right. Everybody
smoked in those days.
So you were 9 years old when you started, and Angela, you were 11, right?
No, I was 10 when we started the pilot,
10.
And Angela had just turned 12.
Just
right. Yeah,
we started in December of '64.
So how is it at 10 years old? How do you learn lines? I mean, how do you do that? Is it just because you were used to it? I mean, you started acting at what, age four?
Five. We're all good at something. I'm good at remembering dialogue, I guess. You know, it just came natural to me. It was something that I wanted to do, and I guess, you know, it just came easy to me.
I don't know. I think it's easier when you were a kid because you don't have the garbage in your head.
Yeah, that's true, too. And you had been on Make Room for Daddy, right, Angela?
I had for 7 years. I was on Make Room for Daddy, and then I went right into Lost in Space.
No way.
After Sound of Music.
Yeah, a little movie called Sound of Music.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was very sad to hear about Charmian Carr.
Yeah, really shocking and sad.
My condolences. I know you at least kept in touch with her. I don't know how friendly you were with her, but
we are very friendly. She and Kim and myself are the only ones that live in Los Angeles. Everybody else lives all over the world, but we still are all, you know, a group that get together, and we're the non-traps, we call ourselves.
Charmy was always here at Angela's holiday parties and stuff. Really sweet, gentle lady.
I got back from Salzburg, Austria. I was over there for 2 weeks. I took a group of people on a private tour of all the locations from the Sound of Music. And we actually went to the pavilion, and we had like a little short ceremony there. And it was very touching and really quite beautiful. Right there in Salzburg at the pavilion where she danced her 16 going on 17.
You guys are keeping busy then. still.
Oh, yeah. We're having a renaissance creative period. We just wrote a novel together, and I have a new album that's coming out November 28th that Angela did all the design for. And she
called Velour.
Yeah, called Velour. And Angela's always, you know, creating beautiful, unique pieces of art that the world can see and purchase.
There's no dust on us. We're going.
Yeah, no, we're off to a big science fiction convention next weekend in Northern California called Alien Con.
Oh, wow.
I'm a producer on the series Ancient Aliens.
Oh, very cool.
And yeah. Both of us just did the book for Ancient Aliens. I'm the female scientist on the audio version of it, and Bill is everybody else.
Now, did you guys have cameos in the Lost in Space movie?
I did not. Angela did.
Angela.
I did.
I was
a reporter.
Yeah, it didn't even measure up to what you guys did. I mean, the magic that you guys had could never be duplicated, let's face it. I mean,
Netflix Lost in Space going to be coming out.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think it's going to be very interesting. We've both read the script, and the script is great.
Really? They let you read the script? How cool is that? Do you think you'll do any cameos on it?
I don't know. Not really into doing cameos.
No.
No.
Do you guys do any acting at all anymore?
Yeah, we do. I have a film in the can that's coming out, I think, at the holiday. Yes, we do work. I do a lot of voiceover work. We both do. But I do a lot of animation and narration voiceover work, and that's acting.
Now,
were you watching the show in the 60s, or did you watch the show in...
Oh, growing up, it was like my fixture, my show. I mean, I watched it all the time when I could get the TV away from my six brothers and sisters, you know.
Wow.
No, I was only three at the time that the show started airing, so I really didn't see it in its first incarnation when it was first on.
We're thumbing through the book, and there are lots of pictures of cigarettes in the book.
are there really?
Yeah.
Page 146 and 147.
And we actually write about how everyone smoked and then how we started smoking soon after and how nobody smokes anymore.
Do you guys remember the first time you were on the set when you were doing the pilot? Do you have any memories of that?
Yeah.
What strikes you that you remember more than anything? I mean,
I think that's page like 11 through 30.
In other words, we have to buy the book in order to find out.
There you go. Amazon.com, baby.
Were you ever a salesman, Billy?
No, but yeah.
Or you could get versions of the book that we personally signed. We'll even personalize it to you. And that's on AngelaCartwrightStudio.com. It's under the bookshelf, and all the books I've written, and this one that Bill and I have written together, that's on there, and we personally will sign it for you. If you don't want to get it on Amazon, if you want an autographed copy, go there.
Wow, very cool. Are there a lot of those available, or are they selling quick?
Oh, they're like hotcakes. Get them while they're fresh.
Now, will you guys be selling this book at the Alien Con?
While they last, we're not taking a whole bunch.
No.
Certainly, we'll take orders for anybody who wants one signed, and then sign it and send it off when we get home if we run out.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing about you two and about the whole cast is how photogenic you really all are, and you, I mean.
Yeah, us in person were really ugly.
No, I didn't mean that. You do have a sense of humor, Billy. Okay.
Do
you not like being called Billy, by the way?
He's a Bill. I still call him Billy, but I'm the only one that can get away with it.
Uh-oh. Yeah. That means I'm in trouble then.
you're on the edge of the cornfield.
That's right. Oh, yeah. That's what. What was it like working with Rod Serling, by the way?
It was great.
I'm honored to have done three of the original Twilight Zones, and then I did a sequel to It's a Good Life many years later. I wrote one of the revised episodes, and I was also in the feature. So my Twilight Zone alumni cred is pretty good. I think the Twilight Zone was a fantastic series, and very happy to be a part of that.
Now, do you guys watch yourselves on MeTV when they play reruns?
Well, we'd have to be watching MeTV all the time to find out when we were on. No, I mean, I don't. No.
Do you, Angela?
Not really. I'm kind of busy during the day. You know, there's the beautiful Blu-ray DVD set. If, you know, you ever want to sit down and really watch the show and see those colors pop and how amazing all the special effects were and stuff, and if you really, you know, want to see it again, that is worth buying.
Lost in Space, The Complete Adventures on Blu-ray is a magnificent collection. And it includes, you know, the epilogue, which was something that I wrote 30 years ago. But we taped the epilogue. We filmed it with Mark and Marta. And it's the resolution of the series where the Jupiter 2 gets back to Earth. So for the diehard fans, that's a real cool bonus bit.
Now there's something on page 19 that I've never seen before, and that's with the robot. The robot's hands are a different color than what I saw in the show.
Well, the first season was in black and white, and when we went to color, they painted its claws red.
Oh, so we did see it. They were silver in the pilot then, and in the black and white episodes.
They were silver for 30 some episodes, and then when we went to color, they brightened them up.
I know why it looks weird, because it's in color. This picture's in color, and it's still silver. So it's one of the
it's one of those rare looks at the first season, and that people have only seen in black and white. But if they get the book, they can see those rare black and white moments in glorious color.
You are a little crazy, aren't you?
What do you mean by that, man?
Exactly what I said. No, you sound like you like to have a lot of fun all the time, and that's good.
As much as we possibly can.
What was it like when you were doing the show? Were you approached a lot on the street when people recognized you? How was that? How did you take that?
And how? Only in our spacesuits were we approached.
Really?
Spacesuits and went to.
You know, the two of, without getting into it too seriously, I mean, Angela was a star on television from the age of 4 on, and I was pretty prolifically working from the age of 5 on. So, you know, those were the days when 40, 50 million people watched your show every week, and then, you know, you didn't have the opportunity to buy a Blu-ray or see it on demand or DVR or record it in any way. So, you know, the country, there were only 3 channels, and so, yes, we had a lot of people recognize us, and in those days, I think people were a lot more civil about how they reacted to you, unless you were at a personal appearance where then they were, you know, all worked up to see you perform or speak. Or we used to do a lot of personal appearances where we'd sing and play and, you know, sign autographs and stuff. But, you know, when we went back to school eventually, Angela went back to school as a junior or senior in high school, and I went back to school. Then that was a lot tougher and weirder, because we've been away from the community of our peers in terms of classrooms for most of our lives. And the show was, of course, still running, so, you know, it's an interesting experience being a child star, and, you know, we went through that together, and very few people can really relate to that. It's an interesting perspective.
You seem to take to it really well. I mean, you guys are pretty well grounded, so you must have had really good parents growing up.
What do you mean by that?
I keep feeling like I've offended you somehow.
Don't take it seriously. You know, in my particular case, we never thought that, you know, my sister Veronica and I would get into show business. So it was kind of not something that my parents were ever pushing for. And I don't think Bill's parents pushed him. It was him that really wanted to be Zorro. So I think that when it's the kids that have the dream, it's, you know, better because you're not trying to fulfill something for somebody else. You know, I still had a normal life. I made my bed. I cleaned my room. I had to, you know, pick up after dinner. You know, I was born in an English family, and, you know, we had tea every day, and it was just that we also went to work. And, you know, my sister's been working all her life also. She's just become a regular on the new show 24 Legacy, which will be out in
February. Oh, very cool.
Yeah, she's, it's a good part.
Wasn't she the screamer in Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the woman who screamed?
She had a big part in Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Veronica's a great actress.
She was Goldblum's sister or wife, I can't remember. It's been years since I've seen it. But
yeah,
she had a role in that and in Alien. She played Lambert. And we're excited. February, 24 Legacy.
Didn't I see Veronica also in The X-Files at some point, too?
In what?
I think she was in an episode of The X-Files, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. She played, what was her name? She was the one. She was in three episodes, I believe.
So, yeah. Billy, tell me some of the shows that you were in besides Lost in Space. I know you did a movie with Lucille Ball. You were in other things, though, too.
I did. I've done over 400 television shows. So,
400? Wow.
Go ahead and IMDb.
Where to begin?
I had no idea it was 400. I knew it was a lot, but that's a lot.
Your homework, dear boy. Reparations, everything.
Well, now he's channeling Jonathan.
That's right. And don't you forget it, you bubble-headed booby. How dare you?
Yeah, I was told he does a very good imitation of Jonathan.
He does.
Indeed I do, dear boy. Indeed I do.
Did he ever hear you do it?
Yes, many times.
And what was his reaction?
How dare you?
Well, you two obviously got along with Jonathan. And so there was a closeness with you guys?
Absolutely. He was a one of a kind, and we had a very good relationship with him. And towards the end of his life, we socialized quite often. And
we still, to this day, celebrate his birthday?
We celebrate his birthday every year. He would be turning 102 next month.
Oh, that's wonderful.
I gave the eulogy at his funeral, and...
Really? I wish that were on YouTube so I could see it.
That's creepy.
No, just to hear what you have to say, that's all. Not the funeral. I would like to hear what you have to say, that's all.
Well, we had great admiration for Jonathan, and he was a joy to work with. I must say he was the most prepared actor. He always came to the set knowing his lines that he had rewritten the night before. But he was funny. He was just—he was lovely. I adored him. And you know, even after the show ended, he went on to do—you know—he was the voice in A Bug's Life and did other things. But he'll always be remembered as Dr. Smith. He made such a character out of that, which was really nothing in the beginning.
He turned a snarling saboteur, pure black-hearted villain into a character that you love to hate. He really was responsible for creating that character. He wrote all of the alliterative insults that he shouted out at the robot every week. And yeah, Jonathan was one of a kind.
I met him at a convention, one of the Star Trek conventions, I think. And I was just amazed at how well of a speaker he was. He just was so good at speaking, public speaking. I was laughing the whole way through. I mean, and I imagine he was like that on the set a lot, too.
Oh, yes. He held court wherever he went.
Sure did.
Were you guys ever bothered that he kind of, that his character kind of took over a little bit? Did that ever bother you?
No.
I think everybody was confused sometimes at the direction or tone that the show was going in, but
you know, we just showed up and went to school and hit our marks and read our lines. I had so much work with Jonathan, and I enjoyed every minute of it.
There was definitely a chemistry between you two, as well as between you and Guy. I mean, just watching the scenes together was amazing.
It was a great cast. We really connected, you know.
I wonder how that when you had an audition, did you all audition together, or how did the auditions work?
I did an audition. It was offered to me.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
I was called in. Erwin was a big fan of the Danny Thomas show, and he knew my work, so I didn't audition either. We were just called into the office, and
I don't know if anybody auditioned, to tell you the truth. Mark had been in four or five television series. Yeah, you're right. June had come straight out of Lassie. I know Guy had to do a screen test because the network felt he might be a little too young to have a daughter the age of Judy. So he did a screen test, but I don't know if Marta auditioned or not. She was under contract to Fox, so they might have just put her in the show.
But the amazing chemistry you guys all had, I mean, it was there. I mean, it all seemed to come together. And, you know, we all know how a show can be ruined if there's not total chemistry with all the characters. But
absolutely. What do you mean?
What?
That's so true. I mean, you watch some shows on television and it just doesn't work. And then sometimes you'll watch one and it'll just click. And you'll go, God, I really like these people. And, you know, it's hit and miss. And I'm just so tired of the same stories happening every week on every show and
Right. Same
characters. And that's just sad to me. You know, I feel like it's all in a transition. And I don't know.
Well, there was nothing like Lost in Space on the air before Lost in Space debuted on September 15th, 1965. I mean, it was the most expensive pilot ever produced. No one had done a primetime space project. It was before Star Trek and everything, and it had family values while still, you know, dealing with the conflicts of unknown alien space. And it's like a pioneer family in an unknown environment where you could literally do anything you wanted to. The music by John Williams was fantastic. And of course, the props were really, really well designed. Bob Kinoshita, who had designed the robot for Forbidden Planet, designed our robot, and things just fell together. It was the beginning of the psychedelic '60s. It was pop art. It was a very interesting time in history, and we were fortunate enough to be a part of a project that went so long and it's still resonating today.
Yeah, tell me what people are going to like about this book.
Everything.
Anything, things in particular that you think that will be extra?
Yeah, I think they're going to really like Angela in go-go boots and a miniskirt.
What's cool, too, is there's some pictures, you know, that are from our own personal albums that we found. I think they're going to enjoy the stories. I find that when people can hear what actually took place while we were filming, you know, what was actually happening, there's just kind of a fascination with that, and it's very interesting.
I think you should tell us what people are going to like about the book, because, you know, we wrote it and we know what's in it, but you've read it, so...
What makes it special to me is this: the things that I've never seen before, the scenes of you with other people that I've never seen before, the special scenes that bring back all the memories of the different shows, you know, and I have such a wonderful memory of watching the show. So everything, the picture of you on 92, on page 92, Angela, is just stunning. That's just a wonderful picture. I mean, there's just so many different things about it that I like. I mean, there's June Lockhart sitting on this, I don't know what this, slant board, that's what it is, a slant board.
And yeah, because our spacesuits were so uncomfortable.
You couldn't bend in them.
We cut off our circulation.
Really, was that? And yet they look so relaxing, though.
No, they weren't relaxing. They looked great, but they were very uncomfortable.
In the second year, they came out with Mylar, and that was a lot more comfortable to wear. But in the third season, until then, it was pretty uncomfortable. Those silver suits.
They were like firefighters' heavy canvas.
I think what is what I love about the book most is the pictures I've never seen before. That's really what gets to me. And you know, and I love the birthday cake scene. You apparently had a lot of birthdays on the set.
Well, we had three or four, and
you don't say. You sound like you're about 25 now. You seem like you have such energy.
Who are you talking to, Bill?
Yeah, well, both of you, really, but Billy in particular.
I'm sorry. What?
And were there really action figures of you guys?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think I ever had them. I don't think I ever saw them.
Well, there's plenty of tons of Lost in Space merchandising, and there are action figures of us. There's even brand new action figures of Penny and Will that are either just recently released or about imminently released. I don't know.
Mine has a bloop.
Yes, hers comes with a bloop.
What happened to the bloop? Why did the bloop leave?
Well, you know, I don't know.
He's got a better offer doing Ductari.
Is that what it is? Oh, that's great. I love
you missed the bloop fondue episode.
Oh, stop. That's awful.
Was there really, and I meant to ask you about the ostrich. Was there really an ostrich in the pilot?
Sure, yeah.
I must have missed that. I must have blinked and missed it, because I don't remember it, but I'm sure it was there.
They're there.
And I saw that somewhere, the picture. The picture on page 135 of Jonathan doing needlepoint, I love that picture.
Yeah, we had ostriches, we had llamas, we had monkeys, we had all sorts of, we had dogs, we had all sorts of things.
Well, I heard you didn't get along with the ostriches too well.
You know, I wasn't quite able to find that great vibe and groove with them as much as I'd hoped to. Ostriches spit and kick.
Oh, ooh.
Yeah.
They're not as fun as they look.
No.
Do they look fun to you?
No, well, not really. But I mean the way they can go so fast, it's kind of fun to watch them run so fast.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's my idea of fun.
Well, I'm hoping that your listeners all will go and get our book, and it's on Amazon, as I said, and also you can still get the signed version. Bill's trying to open my door. What do you do? You can't. My dog went.
Now, do you guys have plans to do another book? Another picture book? I mean, is this like the first of many, hopefully?
Well, no. No, we've written a novel, a fantasy novel together, and there was some talk about maybe Angela doing a Lost in Space coloring book. But no, I think this book pretty much covers our experience, you know, in photographs. Yeah, no, I think we've done what we wanted to do with this.
What exactly, Bill, have you done other than TV stuff? I mean, I know you did the comic books of Lost in Space, but what other things did you work on?
No. No.
Well, you know, you've been in movies and stuff like that.
You know, yeah, I've been very busy.
Babylon 5, does that ring a bell?
I work all the time in many different arenas as a producer, as a writer, as a recording artist, as a touring musician, as a voiceover guy, as a...
Right.
You know, I've been fortunate enough to work in a lot of different creative arenas and be somewhat successful in them. So it's hard for me to, like, give you a laundry list of, you know, 57 years in the entertainment business.
Oh, my God. That is a long time.
Yeah, and he's only 35.
Exactly. He doesn't sound any older than 35, and neither do you. I mean.
Well, we can dream, can't we?
What was the hardest thing to do filming the show? I mean, was there something that was difficult for either of you, or was it pretty easy all the way through?
I've been doing, like, phoners, radio interviews, things like that. Years later.
I'm in trouble now.
You're in trouble. You got one foot in the cornfield. What was hard about doing the show? The hardest thing about doing the show was having to get 3 hours of schooling in and, you know, 10 pages of acting in it every day. And you know, it's very difficult to walk out on a soundstage with your fellow actors and block and rehearse a scene that may be 4 or 5 pages long. Remember where you're going to move and where you're going to stand and all of your dialogue. And then as they call for second team, your stand-ins, to come in while the cinematographer lights that scene, you, as a minor, Angela and I, had to be quickly shuffled off to a trailer outside the stage and forget about all of that and concentrate on geography or history or math or English and try to meet the curriculum of the grades we were in. And then wait until the second assistant director comes after a minimum amount of 20 minutes to come grab you, and then you have to go back and remember what you had been, you know, rehearsing and blocking 20 minutes ago. So the hardest part for us, for me for sure, and I'm speaking, I think, for Ange, is that constantly having to switch from being a professional actor to being a student, back and forth and back and forth. That was a hard mindset to deal with.
Angela, you seem like you well, on the show you got along with, like, I think her name was Dee Hartford. Is she the one that played the teacher at one point? She was teaching you guys on the show, one of the episodes.
Verda?
Yes, Verda.
She was the green lady, wasn't she?
No, that's Bettina Marcus. Yeah, she was Verda. She was an android.
But you seem to have a connection with these people. I mean, and it showed during the show, but was it like that off screen, too? Did you get close to these?
Dee and Angela played Mahjong together for decades.
Oh, really? I knew there was something there.
You know, I didn't... I really have a problem with anybody that I worked with, you know, as long
except
as
me.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I'd like to hear about that.
Read the book.
Well, I will tonight for sure. All the rest of it that I haven't read.
Anyway, I think we all got along great, and you know, it was going to work every day. I mean, we're, you know, acting, so if we're supposed to like somebody on a show, doesn't necessarily mean that you do, but, you know, if you're acting and you're a good actor and you're supposed to, then it comes across that you do.
In the 84 hours of Lost in Space, we probably had, I'm going to guess, we probably had 70-some guest stars that we dealt with, maybe more than that, because some of them were in ensembles. And, again, you know, between going to school, shooting our scenes, we didn't have, and going to lunch, you know, we didn't have a lot of time to sit in our director's chairs and chat with guest actors. And when we did have time, which was very rarely, we were usually by ourselves or with Mark and Marta, or, you know, we were with our family.
And you played Scrabble, I hear, or word games.
We played a lot of Scrabble.
Yeah, June was really a wordsmith, and we played a lot of Scrabble.
And I always had my guitar with me, and I had a stereo in my dressing room, and everybody would bring records into my little dressing room, and it was kind of a little music hangout.
And didn't you actually play a song on one of the episodes?
I played in 4 episodes.
Oh, wow, that many. I didn't realize that.
But it sounds too much like you need to buy that DVD. Yeah. 50th anniversary, and you need to start at the very beginning.
No, I remember the one, but I didn't remember all 4 for some reason.
I played Greensleeve.
It was that memorable.
I played Floop John B.
Obviously, you guys don't forget anything, either one of you.
Oh, no, Bill remembers everything.
Well, you know, we've spent the last year and a half reminiscing about the series, and we did the Blu-ray, you know, what do you call it, what we did, the behind-the-scenes talk. And
yeah, the extras and the, you know. Yeah, the...
You know, we've been studying the show again for the last couple of years, promoting it and doing television and radio and podcasts and personal appearances. So, yeah, I mean, it's fresh in our minds now because we just wrote a book about it.
Right, exactly. What was it like when the show was canceled? Were you both surprised, and what was that day like? I can't even imagine.
Well, you know, we had been picked up for another season, so when we wrapped up the third season, 84 episodes, we were all told we were coming back. So there was no closure, there was no goodbye, there was no wrap party.
party. We all expected to return because we were told we were returning, and then for a myriad of various reasons that one can hypothesize or study, you know, we didn't come back. And so that was very sad. It was very sad. But you have to remember, we grew up, and actors, the gig of an actor, you might get 5 years on a television series. Angela had 7 on Danny Thomas, you know.
Wow, wonderful. But
the gig of an actor is to, you know, complete a project and then move on and say, see you next time, or, you know, hope to work with those people in some capacity somewhere else down the line. It was very sad that we didn't come back because we had been told we were. But nonetheless, the gig of an actor is a temporary gig. You know, if you do an episode of The Twilight Zone, it's 3 or 4 days. If you do a movie, it's 3 or 4 months. But it ends.
Exactly. But, yeah, I can't imagine. I'd love to know what those scripts were. I know they had scripts ready for the next season. I'd love to see what they were going to be about. I'm curious.
Well, they only had 2, and they've been adapted into comic books in the last 3 months.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. So we'll see them out somewhere at some point?
They have been released, yes.
Oh, they have been released. All right. Okay. Very cool.
You can Google those.
You are a lot of fun. You're both a lot of fun. You know?
Yep. We're fun, all right.
You know what was fun to watch, though? Watching the show and watching how during the show you guys would, like, fight every once in a while.
We're good at that.
And there was like a sibling rivalry kind of thing going on.
Yeah.
Well, you see, we're not really sister and brother, so it's not quite the same.
Right. I was talking about it on the show.
Turn to page 96.
Now, if you can either of you pick a favorite episode without even thinking about it, or is that too hard for you?
My favorite would be My Friend Mr. Nobody. I love the way it looked, and I love the whole feel of it and the drama of it, and I love the message. So that would be my favorite.
It's a great
one.
Score, too.
Yeah, I love the score. It was good. And then Bill's, I don't know, what's your favorite?
Return from Outer Space, where Will goes back to Earth.
Really? Why do you pick that one especially? What was it about that one that was so special?
Will went back to Earth.
You dummy. Well, I mean, I just thought maybe there was something that happened during the episode that was special, or something that you remember that was special. More so than the...
It was special because he went back to Earth.
Right, exactly. So you got to do something different, is that what you're saying?
No.
Do you joke like this with everybody?
No.
No, just me.
Oh, dear. No.
You guys are a classic, I'm telling you. Both.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoy it.
I love the picture of your mom on page 75.
Great. Which mom? Hers or mine?
No, yours. Yours, Bill. See, I did call you Bill there.
Yeah.
That's good, Marky.
Yeah, that was a good picture. On the set, that's how I remember Muriel.
Yeah, that's what she looked like.
Yeah.
So good you remember her like that.
Well, there's definitely resemblance there between the two of you. Now, did your dad visit the set a lot too, Bill?
No.
No, your dad was working, and mine was working. I don't think there's a picture of my dad in here.
No, I don't think either of our dads are.
What kind of work did your dads do?
My dad was a technical artist, and he went on to be an art director.
Very cool.
He helped his, the Haunted Mansion at Disney World, Disneyland.
Disneyland, yeah, he did. And he did many of the sets for a lot of the Clint Eastwood movies. Absolute Power. He won an Emmy for, was nominated for Winds of War. And then Bill's dad was a cowboy.
A cowboy?
My father was a cattle rancher, and then in Los Angeles, he was, whatever you want to call him, an entrepreneur. He had a bunch of different little businesses, you know, restaurants and dry cleaners and apartment buildings and things. But he was a cattle rancher.
But you were close to both of your parents.
Definitely.
Yeah, I lived in their house.
Yeah. I guess it would be hard not to be close, wouldn't it?
My dad's still alive. He's 93 years old.
Really?
Yeah, he's a very cool guy.
A very talented guy and a very sweet man.
Very. That's neat.
Yeah.
We just saw him. I just saw him recently at Angela's son's wedding.
Yep. Yeah, he was there.
I'm wondering that I have to ask you about the vegetable rebellion.
No, you don't.
What do you need to know?
Not a good question to ask. Is there anything in here about the vegetable rebellion?
Yeah. There's a lot in there about that. There's unseen photographs of the Tybo carrot out of costume. There's the llama in there. There's all sorts of things about that in the book. Yeah. Not a very whatever. A TV Guide named it as one of the 100 greatest television shows of all time.
Did that surprise you?
Yes.
Yeah. Sure did. Wondered what those TV Guide people were snorting at the time. I don't know. I mean, really, the best episode? The Vegetable Rebellion? I don't know.
I like Antimatter Man. I like the Keeper, the two-part Keeper episode. And I like...
Yeah.
The fourth episode, there were giants in the earth. Those are my three favorites, I think.
Yeah,
those are the Keeper and Giants in the Earth were really good. Antimatter Man doesn't hold up to me. It's just a lot of walking across that foggy bridge and a lot of phallic symbols sticking out everywhere.
Never thought of it like that before.
I know. I think it's Mark's favorite though.
Yeah, because he got to have a beard.
Yeah, there was a villain, Mark.
Yeah, I think that was fun for him. It was fun after to be able to do something that's not in your wheelhouse, you know?
I'm trying to remember, Angela, if you ever had an episode where you were a villain or anything close to a villain. I can't remember anything.
She was a princess?
Yes.
Well, that's kind of villain.
It is if you're against the monarchy.
That's certainly true.
Actually, I don't think I was a very nice princess, was I?
No princess I've ever.
Yeah, you know what? You did have a kind of evil side to you, I think.
I think there was something about that. I'll have to watch that show again. yeah, you know, another one I really liked was The Promised Planet. That was a good one.
Dancing on the pool table in that.
Oh, yes, the music.
We're
right?
going to freak out. Let's get freaky. We're going to freak out together.
When you think about the music, and I love the music, I think that's one of the reasons I watch it so much. I mean, because it's just, I just love the sound of the music. I don't know, maybe that's weird, but...
Never buy the disc?
All the scores are available. There's a box set of all the episodic scores to Lost in Space.
Is there really?
Yeah, and it's beautiful. I mean, you can put it on, and I mean, it's John Williams, and you can listen to all the themes that go in and out of the whole episode.
Yeah, you can put that on and read our book at the same time, and boy, what a party.
You do have a sense of humor, I swear. It's wonderful, though. It's very refreshing.
What do you mean by that?
Just what I said. It's very refreshing.
Well, he's good for a laugh.
It sounds like. No wonder you have him around so much, you know? You guys have fun no matter what you do, don't you?
Sorry, I was laughing. I didn't hear what you said. What'd you say?
I said you guys have fun no matter what you do.
Absolutely. Life's too short not to enjoy it.
Now, Angela, you have how many children?
I have two children, and I have 2.5 grandchildren.
Oh, wow, that's wonderful.
One's almost due next month.
You've been so nice to me through these two interviews, and I can't appreciate it enough. I really think that's wonderful what you've done for me.
Well, I am glad to have talked to you, and I'm going to be saying goodbye now because I have to go to Mahjong.
Right. Mahjong. How cool. I used to play Mahjong when I was a kid.
get a group together and play now. It's a great game.
It is a great game. Thank you both so much. Let's talk about the book one more time. Lost in Space, Lost and Found in Space, and it's available now at Amazon and on your website, Angela, right? And is it on Billy's, too?
It will be. Billy's is being revamped.
Billy?
Bill, did I say Billy again? I'm so bad.
What's the matter with you?
Bill's website is going to all be revamped. His new CD will be on there. And
so are the old ones.
Well, I apologize for calling you Billy.
Well, you should.
It's okay. He'll live to tell the tale.
That's right.
Angela Cartwright Studio.com. It's different than my showbiz, which is AngelaCartwright.com, or my art one, which is acartwrightstudio.com. Angela Cartwright Studio. You can get to it, though, from any of those sites.
And if you just want a regular copy, go to Amazon.
Right.
Yep.
Thank you also, Billy. It's been a pleasure. You're a super guy.
Thank you. I should have a cape.
That's right. And this has been David's Book Talk. We'll talk to you next time.
You have just enjoyed the podcast of David's Book Talk, brought to you by your host, book lover David English. Please visit us at davidsbooktalk.com, follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and subscribe to our podcast. We want to hear from you, and we don't want you to miss our upcoming shows with top authors like Mary Higgins Clark, Patricia Cornwell, Lisa Scottolini, Jackie Collins, Nelson DeMille, Michael Connelly, Sue Grafton, Steve Martini, Dale Brown, David Baldacci.